We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Jess Hilarious, DJ Envy had to step out, but we have a certified legend in the building. Mm-hmm. You've seen her on Night Court. You've seen her on The Upshaw. She has a one-woman show called The Book of Marsha. Miss Marsha Warfield is here. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm blessed, black, and highly favored.
All right.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
All three of us in red. I know we got the memo.
That's a good sign, you know, when everybody is like in sync without even trying.
Yeah. That's right. As long as no Crips walk in here, we'll be fine. Now, you've been working in the business since the 70s, and you're celebrating your 70th birthday this month?
Yes.
Wow.
Mm. Yes.
Do you feel like a legend?
No, I feel like Marsha. I just, I do take every day as it comes, do the best I can, and hopefully be able to rest at night comfortably. Yeah. So things are going well right now, and I'm very grateful for that and very happy with the way it's going in the second half of my career. Mm. Legend is something I think they just say because I'm old.
You got to have a resume to back it up, though.
I don't know. If you hang around, sooner or later, somebody will say you're a legend, but I appreciate it. It's nice to be thought of, well thought of by people.
Who, you just let them say that.
Who know better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not often that someone with like you has longevity in this business and you still manage to stay booked and busy. You want 3 TV shows right now. Yeah. Like, what keeps you going?
Well, it's not just, Most people don't get a chance to have one successful career. I had one, took off for 20 years and came back and have done it again. Mm-hmm. So I'm most proud of that, of the fact that I could start all over again from scratch, right, and then make it work into my 70th year.
Mm. When they called you about the Night Court reboot, was that something you wanted to do? Did you jump at the chance to play Roz again, or you just was like, eh, I don't know?
No, I don't take gigs that I'm like, eh, I don't.
Okay. That's right.
You know, unless it's a right. whole lot of money involved, I'm not putting myself through that. Yeah. I like Night Court. Night Court was good for me. It was mm-hmm. good to me. Hopefully, I was good to Night Court. Mm-hmm. And so when they called me, it wasn't like I expected it, because they were going in a whole new direction. They're doing a whole different show, and I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I wish you well. I hope it does for you what it did for me. I told Lakrita that as soon as I met her. I said, you know, this is your gig now. My time has passed as far as this is concerned, so you take this ball and run with it. Mm. I hope it does for you what it did for me. So when they called me, I was like, well, cool, you know. I'm happy to do it. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed to snowball from there.
Yeah. I'm sure you know and see how times have changed these days. How did you feel when you found out that Roz would be getting married to a woman in the season finale?
Oh, I thought it was great. And yeah. I love the fact that it's not the point of the show.
Right.
The point of the show is that she's getting married. The fact that she's getting married to a woman is never mentioned, brought up, nothing. It's not a bone of contention at all. And that's a long way from where we started, mm-hmm. you know, from where when I came out
right.
and my mother went to my mother. And I wasn't even coming out publicly. I was coming out to her. And she said, well, let's, you know, I understand, but just, you know, don't come out as long as I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's a small thing to ask in the bigger problem mm-hmm. that it was growing up and everything. So I was like, cool. But now we can have this character, and not just representing being a lesbian, but being a lesbian of age, of mm. color, mm-hmm. Marrying another woman, so yeah. that people know there's hope, you know? Mm-hmm. There's hope for people. You don't just stop living because you get another birthday.
Yeah.
And you don't have to stop looking for love. You don't have to stop having sex. You don't have to stop
That's
doing
right.
anything mm-hmm. just because you're old. So I like the way they handled it.
When your mother tells you something like that, how do you not feel suppressed, though? You're like, you're suppressing a huge part of yourself.
Yeah. I've been suppressing a huge part of myself my whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, from birth. And when the society says this is negative, this is bad, you know, people try to insulate their children and help them, because for them, they see it as, one, a failure of their parenting, and mm. two, it's like the world is going to beat you up, so let's guide you along this way. So my whole life, they had been trying to shift me, you know, mm. over to the right side. It's like the way they do left-handed kids, you know,
right.
back in the day, they would tie your hands behind your back. They would force you to use your right hand, because left-handed is sinful. Sinister it means left-handed in French. It was a bad thing, mm-hmm. and so they wouldn't let kids write with their left hand. So you had a lot of converted wow. right-handers whose minds, you know, when you're left-handed, your mind thinks left-handed. Mm-hmm. You know, they open books backwards. They see things totally different. But then they had
so
this corrective thing.
Because no, I'm left-handed, and I open the book the right way.
No, but I've seen left-handed people open it the other way, go from the back. To yeah. And it's not that they're reading from the back. It's just that's how they see it.
Yeah,
and they try to shift your whole mind. And same thing when you see your kids. You know your kid is gay from birth. You know, the little boy cries whenever you put him in a blue something, and he look, I love the pink.
Right.
And they're like, no, you can't wear pink because you're a little boy. And he's like, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. And so they start shifting you away from who you are. So when you come out and you're expecting the worst, you're expecting your parent to be offended and defensive and all kind of stuff. And some kids get put out of their houses. Some kids at 15, 16, their parents can't handle it. Well, all my mother asked was, you know, don't put it out in public. In the whole world scheme, that was a small thing. And my mother was like, well, at least she's not disowning me. At least she's not condemning me.
If they tied your hand behind your back for being left-handed, I don't want to know what they did to gay people back then.
Okay. Jesus Christ. Tell you you're different.
Yeah.
Yes, you're different.
When you started playing back the character of Roz, did it feel like a continuation or a reintroduction?
There's a little bit of both. You know, a lot of time passed. So, you know, Roz was, my goal at the time was I had just done 911 and playing Hen's mother, you know, with the short hair and everything, it kind of established a look and for that character. So I wanted Roz to be more like she was back in the day with the haircut and stuff. So I got the wig and went in that direction. But, yeah, we picked up Roz 30 years later, 40, however many years it's been, and caught up with her life. And I got to meet her again, too. I don't know what happened to her.
You was on TV when being on TV meant something. Like you, like when it was like a real celebrity and being really famous. So how did playing Roz back then in the 80s change everything for you?
Well, you know, back in the day, there weren't as many opportunities. There was only three channels, and cable was new. Mm-hmm. Showtime and HBO were just about all the whole game. And so they didn't have as many. There was no streaming. There was no, you know. And I tell people about, like, selfies and stuff. It's like, y'all got pictures of everything you do. We didn't have no pictures. It was a big deal when somebody took a picture.
Yeah.
So the whole technology changed. And as the technology changed, the opportunities expanded. Plus, black people have, and women have pushed the boundary so far away from where they were when I was a kid. There were no black people on the other. There were no shows like this. There was none of that stuff. All of this stuff is new, and it built up from the civil rights movement through the black power movement into more demands and more Red Fox and Bill Cosby and Flip Wilson saying, we need representation behind the camera. Mm-hmm. I need somebody who knows my skin tones to do my makeup. I know people to do lighting and things who can understand how to light black people.
Yeah.
And so we need more managers and agents and stuff. And all those things started happening. And I was talking about it last night when Robin Harris said at the Comedy Store, because we used to wait for Paul Mooney not to show up so we could take his spot. That was the only way we could get a spot at the Comedy Store.
Dang.
And Paul Mooney always showed up. Mm-hmm. And so Robin said, I can't do this no more, Marsha. I got to work. I'm going back home. And I said, you know, that's cool. But, you know, the industry comes through here looking for talent. He said, I don't care. I'm going home. So he went back and worked all the clubs we worked, you know, to stay sharp, but didn't have the same exposure. Well, when he went back and then he met Michael Williams and the Comedy Act Theater became a thing. And now we have more black people behind the scenes. We have more black people coming out the mailroom and becoming agents. And now then we had the cable weblets started, WB to whatever, and the Frog Network and all those things started happening. And so now they're looking for talent.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going to the Comedy Store on the way home from the agency, these black producers and managers and things could now go the other way and come back and find a talent pool of black talent. And a lot of those shows were cast from that pool, and it kind of all came together through the efforts of everybody along the way. But Keenan and Robert Townsend doing Hollywood Shuffle and independently. Saying, we're going to make a movie. And where are you going to get some money to make a movie? And they said, well, we're going to do it. We're going to do it on our credit cards. We're going to hustle it up. And they actually hustled it up and made a movie that stands up today. And so all of those things happened, you know, kind of organically and followed the trends of the technology changes and took advantage of all of the opportunities that they made happen. Mm-hmm. And we just kept on going until now you have representation. You have, you know, the idea that you can watch TV 24 hours a day and only see black people. It's mind-boggling to somebody who grew up with Ozzie and Harriet and that kind of thing and Leave It to Beaver. So I happen to be just come about in that time period where it was between, you know, when things were coming up. And I got lucky and ended up on Night Court, and the rest is history.
Wow. But I love how... like, you get excited when you talk about, like, back then and stand-up and all of that. Is that still your first love?
I love stand-up. Oh. That's my... I don't see myself as an actress, actor. I was reluctantly dragged into acting because I wanted to say my piece. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a stand-up. I wanted to compete with the big boys. I wanted to do stand-up. And so... learning how to act and all that kind of stuff. I'd learned all of that on the job. I didn't know anything, but I took a class once, and they told me to get a book and said, read the book. And I opened it up, and they said on the first page, the key to acting is to keep it simple. So I closed the book. And I never went back to the class.
Yeah.
And so I was lucky enough to be on the show. At a time, it was like the number four show in TV. You had actors, John Larroquette, getting nominated every time he opened his mouth. He got nominated for an Emmy so often he took his name out of contention. And there were Marky and these actors. And I told Harry when I first got there, I'm like, I'm not an actor. I don't know how to do this. He said, I'm not either. I'm a magician. Wow. He said, but just watch them. Do right. what they do. And so they made it easy for me, and I learned on the job.
This is a question for you and Jess Hilarious. She does stand up as well. Is the stage your safe space?
No, it's not. Ain't nothing safe on stage when you're out there by yourself. But the thing I think everybody has to keep in mind when you do stand up is you're doing you. It's all about you.
Yeah.
And the closer you are to who you really are, the better. You know, we come from a tradition where for years, black people weren't allowed to be themselves. Mm-hmm. There were very few black men. It was Moms Mabley, and that was it. But black men weren't allowed to have facial hair. They weren't allowed to wear suits. Mm-hmm.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
To be characters and play basically minstrels. Mm-hmm. And so in the 50s and 60s, and people like Dick Gregory and Timmy Rogers, and said, now we're going to do it different. And we're going to be people and speak our minds. This was not allowed. You weren't allowed to trick white people intellectually. Mm. And so to be yourself and to be close to who you are, you can't fail at being you. And so if you be the best you can be, you're always going to succeed.
Yeah. I like that. You said you can't. You say you can't trick white people. What do you say?
Why? You can't trick white people intellectually. That was against the law. And in the South, that was dangerous. Dick Gregory said after a show, the group of white men came in. He ordered a whole chicken, and these white men came up behind him and said, "Whatever you do to that chicken, we're gonna do to you." So
you should have ate the chicken's ass.
No, he picked the chicken up and kissed it.
So, what happened?
Yeah. So that was the climate, you know, and again, he won by tricking the people for tricking them.
Yeah. Mm. It's amazing that, you know, we act like when it comes to entertainment, and I'm gonna ask you about like roles that they've asked you to play. Have they ever asked you to play a role that might have been pushing some sort of propaganda?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Holly, I refused. I came about in blaxploitation.
Mm-hmm.
And before blaxploitation, I don't think there had been any roles for black women where they didn't play a maid or a whore.
Mm-hmm.
And most often a maid. And even some of the classics that everybody loves, Imitation of Life and all this,
yeah.
She was the maid. And I said, I will never play a maid or a whore. Never. Ever. And so when roles came up, and the maid is, she has a heart of gold, and she wins up, and she ends up being, and she's a corpse, she comes to, but she's a maid. I said, if she's a maid, I'm not playing her.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned down a lot of roles, and I think we have to start encouraging people. We have to lose the go along to get along mindset,
mm-hmm.
you know, and get back to the kick ass, you know, mindset that, you know, you draw your own line in the sand, and you have the right to say no,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we don't always feel that we have that kind of agency to say, man, I ain't doing that.
Even if they make you feel bad for it, you know, like, because they will, agents, and, you know, it's even, like, happened to me, like, I will say no. Like, I was offered, like, 3 or 4 roles to play a crackhead, you know, but these would have been my first roles, and I didn't want to do that. And I remember meeting, oh, my God, the guy that played Eddie Kane. He was on the set of Row. I did a sitcom, which was my first big role for Fox. But his name was Michael, Michael Rainey, I want to say, or something like that. But he played in the 5 Heartbeats, and he was Eddie Kane. And I met him on set, and he told me, if you let them, they will keep casting you for roles that they want to see you portray, you know, not for, you know, and I grew up in Baltimore City. That's all I seen growing up. I didn't want to play that role. I'm not saying never, but that's not, they kept, that's my agents here. Kept bringing that to me. My manager kept bringing that to me. And I remember him saying,
Michael Wright.
Sorry. Okay. I remember he was like, my manager, he was like, this is you. The scene opens. You're pissing behind a dumpster.
Oh, damn.
Yep, after you snorted
a
line. And I'm like, I can just see you playing this. He don't know how insulting that was.
Yeah.
I fired him. But that was very, I just couldn't believe. He said, I see, when I first read this, I thought of you. I could see you playing this. I'm like, damn.
You know, we forget, they work for us.
Yeah.
You don't work for your manager. And they take the position that you do work for them.
Yeah.
And that you have to do what they say, and you have to let them know, no, I'm the boss of me.
Yeah.
Like I said, do you. I'm doing me. I'm not doing what you see me as. So, no, that ain't going to work.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, I'm having a ball.
You
know,
you can't tell. I believe she
you
is.
You know, I walked in here and the whole room is orange and red and everything. So, you know, this is the way it's meant to be. I'm doing great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us about your one-woman show, the Book of Marsha.
People always told me that I should write a book, and I'm like, I'm not a writer, I'm a stand-up. So if you want to know my story, you have to come see me do stand-up.
Ah, mm-hmm.
And I can tell you better than I can write it down. And I didn't want to go through the ghostwriter thing and have somebody else write my story, and I approve it. So it's a kind of autobiographical stand-up. I grew up on R&B. I'm a big R&B fan. Mm-hmm. That's my thing, and so I sing a lot, and I, you know, I'm not a singer, but I have music in the show. You know how you have a party, and whenever mm-hmm. we have a party, there's always music playing. But at about 10 o'clock or so, that auntie comes in and say, okay, that's enough of that bang bang noise. Let's put on some music, play my record. And everybody goes, what's a record? And she don't get smart with me, boy, and play my record. And so I'm that auntie. Mm-hmm. And this show is where I get to, like, it's like a theatrical show, but it's like coming into my kitchen. You know, she always takes her place in the kitchen, mm-hmm. that auntie, and starts talking about everybody else's food
and stuff.
Right. Yep. Like, and so that's the way the show hopefully feels, like you've come into my party at the time where it was down now to the real people and not just the people you have to be fake with. Mm-hmm.
Who helped you on the come up?
Everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, that first night I went to the Comedy Store. Well, the first night I went to do stand-up, it was because Tom Dreesen had just started a open mic night. We'd never had one in Chicago. And he had just started open mic night after he broke up with Tim Reed, and they had a Tim and Tom comedy team. And so that's when I met a bunch of people who helped me along in my career. Mm. Brad Sanders, who used to do the It's Your World. It's Your World radio show. And he's done a lot of movies in the Hollywood Shuffle and stuff. And Tom Dreesen and a whole bunch of other people helped me along. And I stayed in Chicago for a couple of years. And then the first night I got to the Comedy Store, the first person I met was John Witherspoon. Mm. He was at the door. He played tennis back then, so he had on tennis shorts. Mm. And had a sweater tied around his neck like a preppy dude. And he started talking. I'm like, you're not from here. And he said, no, I'm from Detroit. And so I'm from Chicago. He said, I'll introduce you to people as they came in. And one of the people he introduced me to was Paul Mooney. Mm. And he said, this is Paul Mooney. I said, hey, Paul. He said, Mr. Paul Mooney. And I said, yes, sir. And so then we hung out and they started talking. That's where I learned how to drink cognac because I was, you know, young. I'm 22. And so I'm still in the stage where I'm drinking fruity umbrella drinks trying to drink like grown people. And I don't know, for a while I was drinking scotch and milk.
Mm.
Yeah.
Used to be tearing them club bathrooms up.
It was nasty. Yeah. Nasty. But he was drinking this drink. Back then they used to light your cognac first. Mm. And so they, you know, burn and warm it up. And they learned that you were burning all the alcohol off, and so stopped doing that. But it came with a flourish, you know, and I was like intrigued. And he was drinking out of a snifter. And what is that? Is what he said, this is the stuff Massa wouldn't let us have. So if it's free, always get the cognac. Mm. So I started drinking cognac. And from that point on, he got us all on the Richard Pryor show, where we all got our union cards and everything. And then as time went on, he would help people get gigs whenever he was in, you know, he would recommend me. And then when I got my talk show, I hired him as the head writer. And so we went back and forth collaborating. And that's one thing I just want to say. We talk about how we don't stick together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where that comes from. It's like some people will come in here with everybody in their family, a whole posse full of people following behind them. We don't stick together. I'm like, well, who are they? And they're helping him. I signed him to my label. I got a deal, and I signed that girl over there. And it's, we all stand on each other's shoulders, and we all stand side to side. And that's people have always helped and opened doors. And did you go and check out this so-and-so? They got a gig over there. It's not right for me, but that might work for you. Mm. And that kind of networking and everything is what made that kind of progress I was talking about earlier happened. So we do stick together, and we have to change the narrative. It's not like you change the facts, but when other people tell your story and then you internalize it, now you're saying things that ain't true while you're living your own truth. Yeah. So we have to start telling those truths, and we stick together real good.
Yeah.
And I've never had any situation when I came back, Wanda Sykes and Kim Whitley and Adele Gibbons and there's so many others helped me in all kinds of ways, gave me gigs and just helped me out. I am passionate about how dependent we are on each other and how we come through for each other. So we need to change those narratives. They're just lies.
No, you're right.
Yeah, it's just for us not to forget when we get in those positions, because it feel like y'all had a bunch of unwritten contracts. Like, when I get here, I'm going to look out for you. When you here, you look out for me. Like,
well, you know, you're kind of forced into that. At the comedy store, like I said, everybody's waiting for a spot trying to get on. And you're all together talking, sharing, as a group. And so you're kind of forced into it. Mm-hmm. But then you're looking at people, like I said, who are making those demands, who are making changes, who are opening doors, unions that were closed. And if you weren't related to somebody, you didn't get in certain unions. Mm-hmm. Well, they said, no, that doesn't work. And let's open these things up. And they fought for these opportunities that we, you know, waltzed into. So, and I think that's been tradition all along. Mm. But we've never had the opportunity to tell those stories. And now we do. And we can tell them from a different perspective. You don't change the facts, but you change the perspective. You know, something can happen. If we all watch an accident happen, we all saw something different from wherever we were. And if we're only hearing the side of the driver or the victim or the whatever, you get a distorted view. And when we start telling those truths, then people start thinking in a different way and maybe have a different understanding of what went on.
Yeah, I think people like the most so focused on who didn't help them and who didn't. Like, okay, well, they could have opened the door, but it's a whole list of people who have, you know. And like you said, your family, you got to focus on, like, how you got here instead of where you wanted to get because this person didn't put you there. So that speaks to everything, that especially the world of comedy now that we're in and all the trajectory and everything. But I loved meeting you. I know you got to go. One last question. Is there anything on your bucket list career, like that you want to do that you haven't done yet?
I'm one woman show, The Book of Marcia, I want to do as a one woman show and have that be a special.
Yeah.
I'm working to make that happen in the future. And then from there, I'm just grateful for every opportunity. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed more than I have always appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in the struggle and trying to make it, you think nothing's happening. But when you look back on it, it's like, dang, I was doing a lot.
Right.
And so I just want to keep on growing. You know, I don't want to grow old gracefully. Mm-hmm. I want to grow old badassedly and just.
That's right. That's right.
Kick the door in and keep on living until can't live no more.
That's right. Ms. Warfield, it was a pleasure. We could sit here and talk to you for hours. Thank you for your wisdom.
Yes, right.
Thank you for coming. It's Marcia Warfield. It's The Breakfast Club.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find, for the fun of it, kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.